Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12 tonight. Luke chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 42 to 48. Luke chapter 12. Believe it or not, I think this bumper sticker was found on the presidential limousine. It said, "Don't play stupid with me, I'm better at it." I just heard that it was on the presidential limousine, just plastered on there. And then this was on Harry Reid's car. "This car is designed by a computer, built by a robot, driven by a moron." At least that's what I was told. All right, it was there. Then those of you that have ever been around Josh Altman, we were going to put this on his car. You'll understand this. "This beater has been in 15 accidents and hasn't lost one yet." So that's why normally we've in workers' meeting we make a rule that Josh either has to leave before all of us or he cannot get in his car before all of our cars are gone. I don't know what it is. There's something about him and accidents. And then, Marvin, I thought of this. We're going to plaster this on yours. "Faster than a speeding ticket." Oh, yes, the joy of being Amish. Everything's new. Everything. It's like Alzheimer's. You know what I mean? Everything is new. Amish, all they both start with A, Marvin. I never thought of that. They both start with A. But if you don't know that, I think since Marvin got his license, I think he's wanted in 46 states. And Fairhaven is a safe haven. So he chose to join our church. All right. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 42, says, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to beat the men servant and maidens, and to eat, drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." And the context in the end of this chapter, it actually starts in verse 35. You see instructions for Christians in regards to what we should be doing while we await Christ's return. In the verses 35 through 41, you see that we should be watching. The next passage, our text passage, said that we should be working. And then the passage after this, one guy, he alliterated it all. He said, watching and working and warring. And the last section there, 49 through 53, talks about Jesus coming, or Jesus didn't come to unite. There's a big movement, even in Christian circles, that everything is about unity, and they don't understand Scripture because Jesus said that he's going to come and there will be division. And part of that division is because people aren't faithful to the Word of God. And when you're not faithful to the Word of God, the Bible instructs us, even in that last passage, that we should be almost militant. That's the idea there, that we should be militant in our stands. Now, people don't like that that term today. And even we've talked about that as far as the term fundamentalist. All right, there's a bad connotation today, especially when you think of the Middle East and a militant fundamentalist. Well, before the militant fundamentalists in the Middle East were popular, there was even back in the turn of the century in the 1900s, late 1800s and the 1900s, there was a group of pastors, there was a group of believers that got together and they actually put out some volumes called The Fundamentals. And the reason they put out The Fundamentals is because there has been a continual attack against good doctrine and sound doctrine based on the Scripture. In verse 49, I love this passage, but we're not preaching on it. It says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? I love that Jesus said, I am come to send fire. And that's what's lacking today. We're not necessarily going to preach on that text, verse 49. But even this afternoon, as I was reviewing and reading this text again, that verse just sticks with me. Because it is so lacking. We have people that get into the pulpit and people that come into church and they feel nothing in their heart. There is no burning. There is no desire to do anything for God. There's just a lackadaisical attitude. Oh, that God would send fire again and burn it within us. But our text here is found in verse 42. It says, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask as we look at this context tonight, pray that you would lead and guide. Calm our hearts, calm our spirits. Lord, give me the liberty and freedom that is necessary to reach hearts. Lord, Holy Spirit, as always, do what I can, and that is to speak to hearts. Lord, we'll thank you for it. Thank you for our church. We thank you for the work that many put in yesterday and today, the hours. Lord, some are weary, but Lord, help us to come together this evening. Lord, we come to hear from you. Lord, we'd ask that you'd speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Many people have dreams. And a lot of people don't turn their dreams into reality. There was a man, I remember reading about this many years ago. I think this was the late 90s that this happened, or early 2000s. There was a man named Larry Walters, and he lived in California. And his story is true. You could look it up. Not right now. All right, you can look it up. But Larry was a truck driver. His lifelong dream was to fly, though. And when he graduated from high school, he joined the Air Force, and he wanted to become a pilot. Unfortunately, he had bad eyesight, and that disqualified him. So when he finally left the service, he had to satisfy himself with watching others fly. And they crisscrossed the skies. And as he would sit in his lawn chair watching the planes go by, he dreamed about flying. Then one day, Larry Walters got an idea. He went down to the local Army-Navy surplus store, and he bought a tank of helium, and he bought 45 weather balloons. Now, these are not the helium balloons that you go down to Jewel and pick out for your 50th birthday. Yeah, that's weird. All right, you can. I would admit that it's weird to get balloons for your birthday. But he went down and got these weather balloons. They weren't the brightly colored party balloons. These were heavy-duty spheres, the weather balloons. They measured about 4 feet across when inflated. He started filling these, and in his yard, he used straps to attach the balloons to his lawn chair, the kind you might have in your own backyard. He anchored the chair to the bumper of his Jeep, and he inflated all 45 balloons with helium. Then he packed some sandwiches, and he got some drinks, and he loaded a BB gun and brought it with him. And what he thought is, you know what, when I'm up there, when I want to come down, I'll just start popping the balloons, and then I'll slowly come down to the bottom. This is a true story. His preparations complete. Larry Waters and his chair were ready, and he cut the anchor cord. His plan was to lazily float up go up into the sky, get the thrill of flying, and then shoot the balloons and slowly come back to Earth. But it didn't quite work out that way. When Larry cut the cord, he shot out up like a cannon because he had 45 helium balloons. And he didn't go up a couple hundred feet. In fact, he leveled out at 11,000 feet. It's a true story. Leveled out at 11,000 feet. At that height, he really, at that time, he wasn't thinking of shooting the balloons now with the BB gun. He didn't know what to do. And he didn't want to move, lest unbalanced, you know what I mean, at 11,000 feet. Now, he really got his dream of flying. He stayed up there, and he was up there for 14 hours. Eventually, Larry drifted into the approach corridor of LAX. There was a Pan Am pilot, and that shows you that was many years ago. A Pan Am pilot radioed the tower about a passing guy in a lawn chair at 11,000 feet. Now, I'd have loved to have been in the tower, all right? Sir, we're coming in for landing, but there is a guy in a lawn chair, all right? When it really happened, okay? LAX is right on the ocean, and as night was falling, the winds on the coast began to change. So as dusk fell, Larry began drifting out to sea. At that point, the Navy dispatched helicopters to rescue him, but the rescue team had a hard time getting to him because the draft from the propellers pushed him away. Eventually, they were able to hover over him and drop a rescue line, and they hauled him back to Earth. As soon as Larry hit the ground, he was arrested. Sad. I don't know why. He was being led away in handcuffs. Television reporters, because now it's been 14 hours on the news, and a television reporter came up to him and said, Mr. Walters, why would you do that? Larry stopped the man, and this is one of the points, okay? He replied, a man can't just sit around. All right, that was his answer. Now, as we come to our text, as I think of that, there are many times we have dreams of doing something great for God. We have dreams of doing something, but we never put it into motion. And part of putting something into motion is being faithful at what you're supposed to do. Being faithful at what we know we should be doing. And this evening, that's what I want to look at. I want to look at this passage in connection with our lives as Christians. Could it be said that you are found faithful in what God wants you to be doing? Not in what we are doing, but in what God wants us to do. In the text again, here in verse 42, notice what it says. Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? I want to look at three ideas this evening. The first one I think is very simple to see in our text here in verse 42. The first thing that we see is God desires to find faithful followers to give them responsibility. You see that in verse 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward? He's talking to us as Christians. He's saying, hey, God is looking for faithful and wise stewards. Why? Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household. God is looking for faithful followers so that he can bestow upon them some responsibility. He wants to give us some responsibility. He wants us to be faithful so that he can give us something to do here on this earth. God desires to find faithful followers. And in this thing, I think you see two different ideas with this verse 42. You see, God is looking, it says, for good stewards. He's looking for good stewards. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean that he's looking for good stewards? Well, in another passage, Jesus Christ is talking, I believe, to his disciples, and he tells them that if you cannot be faithful with the filthy mammon of this world, how will he commit to you the important things? Look it up. Jesus said that. So what is one way that God can find us faithful? Are you faithful with your money? Are you faithful to God and your money? Are you faithful in paying your bills? Jesus says that in the Gospels. He said, if you're not faithful with the filthy mammon of this world, do you think then he's going to give you a soul to disciple? You can't even handle a dollar bill because of your covetousness or because of your flesh, and you're always wanting and you're always grabbing things and you can't even tithe. There's some of you that haven't been faithful in tithing. What do we mean by that? Oh, you can be faithful for maybe 3 months. But then after that, oh, well, bills are a lot. Oh, you know what? It's just kind of hard right now. What do you think God does? What do you think God is looking down at you? You can't even be faithful with the filthy mammon of this world. And you expect him to bless your house? You expect him to pour out the windows of heaven on your home? He's not going to do it. Why? Because he can't even trust you with some silly paper that our federal government prints. That's my version of it. But think about it. Can God count you as a good steward? I think a lot of us look back at our life, we say, whoa, man, I've been really faithful. Really? I know teenagers, I know young people. We were talking about it this week. There's a couple, young people go up and down and up and down. And there's some of you, you think you're faithful because you've read your Bible for 2 weeks. You have silly faithfulness. You're a sorry steward. Because you say, oh, you know what? In the last year, I haven't gotten in trouble at school. Oh, man, what a good steward. God wants to look down upon us and find faithfulness. He wants good stewards. He has precious cargo. He has precious things to bestow upon us. Can you imagine just the gospel? The gospel wasn't cheap. The gospel cost a lot. And he wants to give it to us so that we can take it out and disperse it and lead someone to the Lord. But you can't even be faithful picking up your Bible in the morning. You can't even be faithful getting on your knees and praying for the people around you. Our church members that are sick, they can't rely upon you to even pray for them. Oh, but I'm good. No. We're saying in the eyes of God. Because it's not man that's looking down. It is God that's looking down. And he's looking down saying, I need a good steward. I need a wise steward. God is looking for good stewards. Then notice what else. God wants to reward good stewards. See it in our context? Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season. Know what God wants to do? He wants you to be faithful so that he can bless you. He wants to give you more. There's some, you're saying, well, I don't have anything. You know why? You just answered it. Yeah, you're a rotten steward. Otherwise, you're calling God unfaithful. But I don't think he is. I think if you check your life, what you will find is you're not faithful to God. And God says, I want to reward them. I want to give them something. God desires to find faithful followers to give them responsibility. But notice in our context here, the second thing. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. But look at verse 45. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. What is the context telling you and I? Because God isn't coming this second, That's why we believe in an imminent return of Jesus Christ, because I think that that keeps it right there, that we should believe that Jesus could come at any moment. I think it's important in that way. But because, hey, everything seems to be going okay, there's a tendency when God gives us responsibility to be lax. There's a tendency to be lax in our faithfulness. And this is a pattern of Scripture. We're not going to cover all the instances, but go back to the book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges, chapter 2, and you'll see that this is not a new thing to be lax in your faithfulness. This is something that has gone on for centuries. This has gone on for millenniums. Look at Judges chapter 2. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet, look what happened. The Lord delivered them, verse 17. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges. But they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. Look at verse 18. And when the Lord raised them up, judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies. But look at verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers. Look at Judges chapter 4 and verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites, or Midian, 7 years. Look at chapter 8 and verse 33. And it came to pass, listen to this one, in chapter 8, verse 33. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. What is the Bible telling us? The Bible is telling us that there is a tendency to be lax in our faithfulness. There's a tendency to not be faithful in the calling that God has called us to. There's a tendency to be, I'm trying to think of the word here. We already said lax, but there's a tendency to be cold-hearted. God needs to stir it up in us again. Faithfulness is so hard to find. Isn't that what Jesus said? When I come, will I find faith? Would he find it tonight? Check your heart. Would he find you being faithful to God? Or this afternoon? Or this evening? Or this past week? Oh, the weekend was coming. You're saying, hey, I'll endure it. I'll get through it so that I can go a-whoring again after other gods. And you wonder why there is no blessing on your life. You wonder why there's no satisfaction. There's no peace. There's no happiness. Why is it? You're not faithful. Oh, God. You know what? It seems like, hey, I'm not getting punished. I'm not getting punished right now, so you know what? I guess this is okay. I guess this means that God has put his stamp of approval on it. I have a flesh like yours. That's what God says to me. Hey, you can get away with it. But that's not the point. The point is that I have a God and I have a Savior that has something special, has something important. And he says, can I count you as a good steward? So many of us, because we come to church and because we work a bus route, because we're in the ministry, because this or that, we say, well, I'm more faithful than they are. That's not the point. That's not who I'm supposed to be compared to. You can go to the Pauline epistles in Romans chapter 16. And we looked at judges in the Old Testament. Look at the New Testament. Look at the New Testament. Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not, our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You'll see that Paul addresses the same thing. Look what he says in chapter 13, verse 1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent, now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Okay? What is he telling them? He's saying, you've gone away. You've gone away. Chapter 1, or Romans chapter 16, he's saying, there's going to be people come, and they're going to try to come and pull you away from faithfulness. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You can go to 2 Timothy. Let's look at that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says in verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Look at what it says. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What is the Bible telling you and I? The Bible is telling us in these passages. Here, these are all Pauline epistles. You got the Pauline epistles, the letters to the churches. You got Romans. You got Corinthians. You got Galatians, and then you have Timothy, the pastoral epistle, and he's writing to Timothy saying, hey, there is a problem with faithfulness. And notice what Paul says right before to Timothy. Look what he tells him in chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, or verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Look at verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. What did he do? I have kept the faith. What did Paul want more than anything? Paul wanted to be faithful. Paul wanted to be faithful. I was reading this week in our family devotions, or maybe last week, and there was a story that we were reading, and this guy was given instruction, and we've been studying the idea of work, and it was interesting. The whole lesson was on maintaining or being faithful, and this is what he said. He said, "It is easier to build than to maintain." You'd say, "Well, what are you saying?" Then he quoted Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin said this, it is easier to build two fireplaces than to provide wood for one. Now think about it. Yeah, it is. You know what's easier for you to do? And in fact, it's true. I was talking to our staff about this, even with work party. All right, it's fun, and it was. It was fun building this auditorium. But you know what's harder to do? Oh, yeah. There's no flash in it. It's harder to maintain it. You know why? It's not fun cleaning out the filters. It's not fun changing the light bulbs. It's not fun doing some of the mundane. But think about this. The mundane in the physical world is what keeps things going. And it's no different in your spiritual walk. You know why maybe in your life you're not faithful is because people aren't patting you on the back and shooting off fireworks all the time. Hey, let's go to church. But God says maintaining, being faithful is what is required of us. It's required of stewards that we be found faithful. And I think over and over you see it in the Bible. We saw it in the book of Judges. We see it in Romans. We see it in Corinthians. We see it in Galatians. We see it with Timothy. Hey, young Timothy, be faithful. Demas forsook because he loved this world. Be found faithful. This is something, as I said, I've been talking to our staff about. You know, God has given us an unbelievable facility, and we've been talking about it physically. God has given us an unbelievable campus, you might say. But maintaining is not really fun. It's not exciting. There's no flash in it. Nobody's saying, oh, look at that. Oh, wow, change the lights there. No? But guess what? It has to be done. Oh, hey, man, look at that. Look at those restrooms. No? But it's the mundane and the cleaning. The mundane and the changing lights. It's the mundane and keeping everything proper and in order. But think about it. If God has given us those things, and God says, hey, I want you to be a good steward, will we be found faithful? Because God says, hey, I've given you a building, and you've seen it. You've been to churches. And that's why I think it is important to maintain and to make sure that things are in proper order. Why? Because there is a responsibility when we stand before God, because God, we believe, gave it to us. James chapter 1 says, every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. We believe this is a gift from Him. So guess what? How I take care of it reflects what I think of God. So now let's turn it to the spiritual. Have you been given something? Yeah, you've been given salvation. How are you maintaining it? Doesn't have to be. I know with the teenagers, you know, it's up and down. It's got to be a teen trip. It's got to be empowered youth. It's got to be a special youth meeting so that we can rally them up. Because teenagers, that's the idea. In maturing, guess what? It's up and down and up and down and up and down. But as adults, are we the same? Oh, man, I can't wait for preaching conference so I can get right with God. So what did you just say about yourself? Oh, I can't wait for this. And then I'll get right. No, day in and day out. We get in the scriptures. Day in and day out, we get with God. Day in and day out, we do what is right. Because what? I have been given so great salvation. I've been given salvation. Then I've been given growth. What do I mean by that? Jesus didn't just leave me here. Jesus, after he saved me, said, hey, now you're saved for eternity. Sorry, bud, but it's going to be a rough life. But I'll see you in heaven. Now, that would, in some cases, be okay because maybe I'd have to endure for 40 or 50 years of some really bad things. But I knew for eternity, when I die, I'd be in heaven. But Jesus didn't do that for you and I. No, in John chapter 15 and John chapter 16, he said, hey, I won't leave you comfortless. If I go away, I will leave someone to be with you. And so he provides somebody that can come alongside. And the Bible says in John chapter 16 and John chapter 15 that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will there, and he will intercede for you. In Romans chapter 8, it says sometimes we don't even know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit says, hey, I'll take it to God for you. That's the power that we have. That's the Spirit that's available. But ho-hum, I don't need a relationship. Really? Are you faithful? Salvation and growth. What about in our family? Some of you as dads, oh, you're at it for a week or two. There's some of you, I talked to some of the young couples, and during the school year, you would say that, man, when we'd preach on spanking or we'd preach on discipline, man, for 2 weeks, it'd be intense in the home. You sorry, Dad. You have a responsibility. You've been handed something from God, and you can only last 2 weeks. No, I've told my kids, I've told them over and over, all right, I may be getting old and I may be getting gray, but I guarantee I can outlast you, all right? Just in the flesh, I'm going to outlast them. But you know what? I don't have to do it in the flesh. I can walk in the Spirit. And day in and day out, God will give me the guidance in my home. God will lead and guide you, Dan. So why not take advantage of it? Be found faithful. Don't sit there and say, oh, it's too tough. I mean, don't you understand? I got to work all day. Don't talk to Paul. Oh, sit down with some of these guys in the New Testament. Maybe just go back in history. Maybe sit down with some of the Christians after Jesus left, as they're meeting, hiding there in the catacombs. Oh, it's tough for you, isn't it? Oh, is it that your sleep number bed is messed up? You don't understand. I got a little kinky in my back here, and it's just the kink is hurting me because my sleep number, I wasn't able to adjust it. It's broken. You whiny baby. Go crawl into a catacomb. Because there, they didn't know what they had. They didn't know the next day if they would have food. And let alone that, they were wondering if the soldiers were coming in to take them to martyrdom. You can go back in the 1500s, the 1400s, the 1600s, and there's people that we look at and we say, man, how did they do it? Because they had one desire, to be faithful. Faithfulness. It's so lacking. D.L. Moody wrote this, and I thought it was fitting. It was called The Pendulum. He said, there once was a pendulum waiting to be fixed on a new clock. Began to calculate how long it would be before the big wheels were worn out and its work was done. It would be expected to tick day and night, so many times a minute, 60 times at every hour, and 24 times at every day, and 365 times that every year. It was astounding to the pendulum. Quite a row of figures, enough to stagger you, millions and millions of ticks. And he looked and said, I can never do it. But the clockmaster encouraged him and said, oh, yes, you can, one tick at a time. And the pendulum said, oh, yes, I can do that. And the clockmaster said, well, that's all that will be required of you. So the pendulum went to work, steadily ticking one tick at a time, and it is ticking yet quite cheerfully. Now, what was D.L. Moody trying to get across to his audience? That God is not expecting you to go out and have 1,000 souls saved next week. No. Just witness to the one he touches your heart about. That's it. And tomorrow morning, is he saying, hey, I want you to write a volume. I want you to write the devotional for everybody. No, he just wants you to get up tomorrow and have your devotions, Dad, and then sit down with your family and have them meet with God in the morning. What is he wanting of us? He wants us to not be lax in our faithfulness. Back to our text. It says in verse 48, the end of verse 48, it says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." Now that, I believe, speaks to you and I. You'd say, "I haven't been given much." I've said this over and over. Instead of in the education system, you know, their solution in public education is always to pour more money into the education system. And instead of doing that, sometime between their 6th grade and 12th grade year, they should put money aside and they should have to visit a third world country. You know what? We'd have a lot of stupidity stopped. Because even with all the stupidity that goes on, there's nothing like you and I have been given. There's nothing like what we have been given. There's a responsibility. And to whom much is given, much is required. And you and I have been given much. There's some people sitting here that you've grown up here. You've been given all kinds of stuff. You've been filled up as far as your tool belt. And you think it's okay to just sit around. And you know what? I'm not going to push that much. Man, that church just asked a lot of me. I'm not asking a lot of you. God is. Because he said, "To whom much is given, much is required." And you're going to stand before God someday. And you're going to stand there and you're going to have to answer for the souls that have been lost because you sat around and did nothing. Because you couldn't have been found faithful. Faithful. What about us? Can it be said of us as a church that we're faithful? Those that have been given much have more required of them. With responsibility comes accountability. And you may look at this and say, "That's unfair." I have sometimes. I have. But it's taught in the Bible. For instance, what happens when the world finds a Christian who is unfaithful to his wife? What happens to the in the world when they find a Christian who is an embezzler, who a pastor that is a thief, a pastor that's a pedophile, a pastor that is this and this and this? What happens in the world? You know what happens. Oh, the world comes after them. Because the world has a standard that Christians are kept at. We may not like this, and we may complain. We may look at the world and we say, "That's carnal, that's vile, that's bigoted." And all that's true. But the Bible says, those of you and those of us, myself included, we have tasted of the preciousness of God. We have tasted of this great life. We have partook of this salvation. And those that partake of it, and those then that are blessed, and those that are taught, and those that are discipled, and those that are trained, you have more responsibility. You say, "Well, I didn't ask for it." Stop being a wimp. God wants us to be faithful. God wants some soldiers he can count on. He has enough halfway Christians. And we've been given something. And God is looking down saying, "I just want to find good and wise stewards." There is a brother and sister that were sitting around a couple of weeks after their dad passed away. And they were having lunch and they were discussing their dad and the marks that he had left on their life. And they knew, you know, Dad wasn't a perfect man, but he loved God deeply. He knew how to be firm. He knew how to be the disciplinarian in the home. And they reminisced about it, and they said that they started bringing up different things that Dad loved to sell. Sorry, S-A-I-L. I know I say all of them the same. It's my Cleveland trait. But he liked to go boating. We'll say that. Liked to go boating on Lake Michigan. And they said they remembered violent storms, 50-mile-an-hour winds. And they said all the other boats would turn around and come in. And their dad would say, boy, let's get out there farther. He said they started laughing about that. They talked about tough business decisions. But then they said, both of them, brother and sister, both of them stopped. And they say they both thought of the same thing and started talking about it. They said for 25 years, every Sunday afternoon, he would go to a woman's hospital or a woman's shelter or something. And there was a wing that had some, they were mentally handicapped. And for 25 years, he went every Sunday afternoon. Few of them could even sing, they said. They said they would go. And he knew that they couldn't sing. They couldn't do much. But Sunday after Sunday, he was there, faithful. And they said as little kids, they had the privilege of walking, watching their dad. Their dad was 6'3". He was a big guy. And they said they could remember more than anything, more than the business decisions, more than the discipline, more than the fun that they had. They remembered that he was faithful in his calling to God. When you pass away, Dad, Mom, is it going to be said, boy, yeah, they went to church, they were an important part of there, but man, they made money. Is it going to be said that, boy, they were so excited about this? They were so excited about, man, their face would light up when they would say this, and maybe it's not something spiritual. Is that what you're going to be remembered for? Oh, I want to be remembered as faithful to God. Frances Havergal wrote a lot of songs. She wrote, I Gave My Life for Thee. Remember that song? She wrote, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. But Frances Havergal wrote these hymns, and this is what she said about being faithful. Sometime they were putting together some of her writings, maybe writing an autobiography or biography, and they were talking to her, and this is what she said. Of ourselves we may have but little weight. No particular talents or position or anything else to put into the scale. But let us remember that again and again, God has shown that the influence of a very average life, when consecrated to Him, may outweigh that of almost any number of mere professing Christians. And isn't that true? There are a lot of people in America. You could go out and you could knock on doors, and we do. And over, oh, I'm saved. Oh, amen, brother. I've had people encourage, hey, keep at it. Hey, are you going to be in churches? Oh, you know, I was talking to a guy yesterday. He said, oh, I go to church in Gary. I said, well, are you faithful? That was my question. He's like, well. I said, that's what God requires. God requires you to be faithful. You need to get there. Don't just throw that at me. Don't just throw it at me to get me off the drive. No, God wants us faithful. He wants us to be there. Can He count on you? Have you been absent in duty in the Lord's work? Oh, you will show up for your paycheck. You'll show up for all kinds of fun. But when it comes to God's work, which is much more valuable, which has eternity, values in view as we sing, are you bankrupt? In the faithfulness bank, are you broke? God wants us to be faithful. We close with looking at Hebrews chapter 3. I love this verse, these two together. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession." Notice what it says. Consider who? Christ Jesus. Look what it says in verse 2. "Who was faithful to him that appointed him." Notice what it says in chapter 6. It says in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus Christ. Over and over in this passage, in chapter 7, it talks about it in chapter 8. And what it says is Jesus Christ was faithful. It says Moses was okay, but Jesus Christ is better. He's faithful. And you may say, well, that was easy. He only had 30 years. But no, if you read the Bible, it says that Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. He hasn't stopped for 2,000 years. He hasn't quit yet. And he sits there waiting to find good stewards, waiting to find you and I faithful. Oh, Jesus Christ, don't knock our Savior. He hasn't stopped. He hasn't quit. And every time that someone turns to Jesus Christ, he is there. He's not willing that any should perish. But Jesus Christ is looking down tonight and saying, are you faithful? Maybe you say, well, last couple weeks, it's been tough. No, no, no. Look at God, because you will stand before him. And remember what Paul said. Paul said, all I want is God to say, well done, thou great soul winner. Well done, you have led millions to the Lord. Well done, man, you have given so much to the work of the ministry. No, no, no. You and I are on the same level. He's not asking of you something that you can't give, because all of us can give faithfulness. And he is saying, all I want God to say is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can we be found faithful? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Have you been faithful to the calling of God? It could be a young person here this evening. Oh, you have spurts of faithfulness. Oh, will you come to God and say, make me faithful? What is holding you back from being faithful to God? Is the world that important? As a young couple, are you faithful? I'm not asking compared to anybody else. I'm saying you know your heart. Have you been faithful? Maybe you've been here for a long time. You say, well, man, I've been a member of this church for 40 years. But are you faithful? Have you been witnessing? Have you been tithing like you should? Have you been giving out the gospel? Have you been faithful to the ministry God has called you to? God desires us to be faithful. Why? Because he said, I want to reward them. I want to make them rulers of my household. God help us to be faithful. Heavenly Father,